Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
There's only one group to blame for the continued suffering of these innocent victims: the House majority and their speaker, John Boehner.
So how does a Democrat run against that? We begin this hour with the woman most likely to run for governor of New Jersey against Chris Christie. She is State Senator Barbara Buono from the Metuchen, Edison, East Brunswick area. She was the first female Senate Majority Leader and maybe the only major Democrat to give this uphill battle a shot, with Christie at 70-plus approval ratings. Buono officially announced her candidacy on Saturday, and we're delighted that she is joining us now. Senator Buono, thanks very much for coming on WNYC today. Good morning.
Good to be here, Brian.
Cory Booker and Steve Sweeney and Richard Cody have all declined to take on the governor this year. Why are you trying?
Well, you know, I declared informally by a web announcement December 11th, and I did it without waiting to see who was in or out of the race, because this is too important of a race. The fight is too important. Middle-class taxpayers across our state are hurting, and somebody needs to fight for them. You know, New Jersey has the highest unemployment that we've had in over three decades, higher than even last year. Property taxes are still the highest. And, you know, this governor has his decision, his tax policies really are protecting the super wealthy at the expense of the hardworking middle class and working poor. I mean, he just rejected the legislature's plan to increase the minimum wage. He's really out of touch.
A main reason that Governor Christie's approval rating is over 70% is his handling of Sandy. Mm-hmm. Do you acknowledge that the governor was great in dealing with this storm, or do you think he's overrated on that?
I think that the governor handled the storm appropriately. I agree that he should have embraced President Obama. We need as much funding from the federal government as we can to rebuild and recover after the storm. But, you know, we can't shy away from confronting where, you know, the issues. You know, New Jersey was in crisis before the storm hit, and we all know it. And we can't shy away from confronting the problems that were there prior to the storm. And we need to be discussing how New Jersey stacks up against other states in economic competitiveness, for example, because that's what's going to determine our family's future. You know, there has been recent front page stories on the firm that the governor brought in to do the cleanup. It's a no-bid contract to Haley Barber's firm, Ashbritt. And I think there's serious questions about why they were brought in, how they were brought in, and, you know, given their exorbitant costs that they're charging for the cleanup, well in excess of what is reasonable. I think that it's something we really need to delve into, because there's a certain amount of funding that from the federal government, from FEMA, that we're going to devote to the cleanup, and we want to make sure that it's used most efficiently so that people that need the help get the help.
Listeners, any questions for Senator Barbara Buono, the only major Democrat to announce to run against Governor Christie this fall? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or you can post a question to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. You mentioned in your announcement, Senator, the state's unemployment rate of nearly 10%. How much do you blame the governor for that?
You know, the governor has the ability to, well, first of all, he made some pivotal mistakes. I would not have pulled out of the Greenhouse Gas Initiative, this multi-state consortium that was creating green jobs. He unilaterally made that decision. I wouldn't have rejected billions of federal dollars that would have built an ARC tunnel, another tunnel from New Jersey into the city that was going to create literally thousands of construction jobs. It would have increased property values on this side of the tunnel, on this side of the river, and, created many more direct rides into the city. That was a huge, huge error. And, like many of this governor's decisions, if not most, they're made with an eye to 2016. And, people need to ask why he hasn't prioritized creating jobs. He has no plan to create jobs or to pull our economy out of this the doldrums that it's in. You know, there's legislation that we passed as a legislature last year, about a year ago. He vetoed a good amount of it. One of the bills was mine, and actually two of them. And, it's really about losing jobs to other states. We have been losing good-paying jobs to other states well before Sandy hit. The legislation I put in that he just vetoed outright would have created partnerships between academia, between universities, and the private sector. You know, we have lost, we used to be called the nation's medicine chest. We have lost now over half of our pharmaceutical jobs, not to low tax havens like in the South, but to high tax havens, California, Massachusetts, and most recently, you know, the Lower East Side of Manhattan. We lost Roche to New York, and not exactly a low tax haven. And the thing that those states have in common is that they have a strong partnership, a strong research partnership between universities and the emerging markets. And, you know, I think that, I don't know about you, but I've got six kids, and I think that we need to be doing more to create opportunities to make sure our kids have the skills that make them marketable for the new jobs that are in demand, the high-paying jobs, and not dismissing credible alternatives to do that.
Just to follow up on the ARC tunnel, the governor's argument was that even though there would have been a lot of federal funding for it, it still would have cost New Jersey a lot at a time that the state can't really afford it, and there were no guarantees that the New Jersey share wouldn't balloon with cost overruns and things like that. Was he wrong?
Look, Ray, that's debatable. Look, Ray LaHood came into New Jersey two or three times to try and work with the governor and to minimize the cost to New Jersey. And so I think that, unfortunately, this governor's decision was the wrong one for New Jersey. And there's really no going back now. I mean, this is something that was in the planning stages for two decades. And it's a lost opportunity. You know, maybe he gets some sound bites out of it. I'll admit he's good around a microphone and his YouTube moments. But, you know, it's just another lost opportunity for struggling middle class and working poor families in New Jersey.
Let's take a phone call from Susanna in Westfield. You're on WNYC with Senator Barbara Bono. Hello.
Hello, Senator Barr. I'm curious as to what you will do about school funding. Governor Christie cut schools' budgets by 5% about 3 years ago, and then when he restored about 1.5% of that, he tried to take a lot of credit for increasing school funding that he himself had cut.
Mm-hmm.
And communities like Westfield, which are extremely low on per-student spending already but still have very high property taxes, are really prevented from keeping up with other school districts, because if everyone has to increase their spending by 2%, and we're going on 2% of a smaller base, mm-hmm. the gap between us and schools that already spend much more increases and increases.
Well, I appreciate that question, because the education, public education, is a huge issue. And I realize that I wouldn't be here today in the position I'm in if I didn't have the opportunity to get a good public school education and be able to go to affordable college in New Jersey and a law school in New Jersey. Unfortunately, those opportunities are diminishing for today's youth. I was the singular senator to sponsor the School Funding Reform Act in 2008. And what that would have done, and it was validated by the New Jersey Supreme Court as constitutional, we had been working on a fair and equitable distribution of available state funds to districts across New Jersey for the better part of two decades. And finally, we had a plan that distributed funding in a fair way, that eliminated the Abbott designations for the Abbott v. Burke. For those of listeners who don't know what that is, Abbott v. Burke was a New Jersey Supreme Court decision that said you had to fund 31 districts in a different manner because there were a lot more at-risk children. And those are defined as those who had English as a second language, for example, or qualified for free and reduced lunches. The legislation we had that was passed finally, for the first time in two decades, started distributing funding in a more fair, predictable, and equitable way to all districts, because what we found is that the demographics changed in New Jersey. Now the at-risk children were more than 40% lived in non-APIT districts. And so the money should follow the child. It shouldn't depend on the child's zip code, and as a result, suburban districts across New Jersey that had been previously cash starved started getting their fair share of funding, which, by the way, has a direct impact on property taxes, because if the cost of public education isn't borne by the state, the remainder is picked up by property taxpayers. The governor came into office, cut almost $1 billion from educational funding, and dismantled the school funding formula. That ended us back in the Supreme Court, and unfortunately, it turned back the clock on school funding, and we have a lot to do to make up where he's taken us back to a time when Abbott districts were, you know, that was a determinant of where the funding went for at-risk children.
Nancy in Hunterdon County, you're on WNYC. Hello, Nancy.
Good morning. How are you?
Okay.
Yes, I would ask the senator about her stance toward the teachers' unions in New Jersey. I think one of the reasons for Chris Christie's popularity, besides Hurricane Sandy, has been his stance on the teachers' union. I mean, I'm a property taxpayer here in Hunterdon County. Our taxes are incredibly high, and I would posit that the reason we're losing jobs in New Jersey is the cost of education, the cost of property taxes, and, you know, what the teachers' union has done here. And since the Democrats have been their major enablers over the years, I find it somewhat hypocritical that, you know, you criticize Governor Christie on those grounds.
Mm-hmm. Well, my focus is on education. It really isn't whether or not I support the teachers' union. As a child of parents who, you know, really didn't have much financial means, I was able to go to a good public school, and that's really what it's all about for me. Quality education, which is really the cornerstone for, you know, strong communities where children, no matter where they live in New Jersey, should have the opportunity to live up to their full potential. This governor, and where I do, for me, it's about the quality of education, the quality of teaching, and I certainly support having a meaningful way to evaluate teaching in the classroom. And I have legislation that I put forth that I tried to get into the tenure reform bill, which I supported, because I don't think that tenure reform can be really meaningful unless you have an evaluation system in place, it's not like recreating the wheel.
But if I could follow up on the property tax and expenses angle that the caller brought up, I gather you were the state Senate Majority Leader, but then you got dumped from the leadership for opposing the pension and health benefits reforms for public sector workers.
Mm-hmm.
So why did you oppose that, and does it mean that you're too close to the public sector unions?
Well, you know, people have a short memory in politics, and when I was the first woman to chair the Senate Budget and Appropriations Committee, in 5 years ago, in 2008, I did research on it, and it became very apparent to me that if we did nothing, that the public employee pensions would collapse under the weight of their own debt. So I spearheaded common sense reforms to the public employee pension system. I held up the budget vote in my committee until to force a vote on some of these pension bills. Governor Corzine at the time did not support and said he would not sign some of the stronger measures. But through my leadership on the budget committee, I was able to force a vote on some of the more modest pension reforms. So we did actually have all that entire package was ultimately passed. Where I drew the line in the sand was as majority leader 2 years ago. Everybody at that point supported pension reform. We all knew that we had to do something. Otherwise, there wouldn't be a pension left for people that had worked and put money into it. But where I drew the line is eviscerating and eliminating collective bargaining for public employee health benefits. If you don't collectively bargain health benefits, then what's left? And that's where I drew the line. I advocated to have the bill split, to have a separate vote on the pension bill, which would have passed probably nearly overwhelmed. I think it would have been unanimous. And the collective bargaining of health benefits, I thought that it should be collectively bargained. At the time we voted on those bills, the public employee unions were in negotiations with this administration, and they were offering givebacks. And I think that the process should have been allowed to run its course. I think collective bargaining is something that has helped to create the middle class, which is, as you know, people are falling out of the middle class in droves these days. So that's where I drew the line.
We have a few minutes left with State Senator and former Senate Majority Leader Barbara Buono, the only major Democrat to announce that she is running against Governor Chris Christie. And if she gets the Democratic nomination in June, she will be the Democratic challenger to Governor Christie in November. Senator from Edison and Metuchen and East Brunswick and around there. We have a few minutes. Let me touch a couple of other things real quick. Tom Moran in a Star Ledger column over the weekend wrote that there are some social and identity issues you might rally the Democratic base around. The governor vetoed a gay marriage bill that you passed in the legislature. He fired the state Supreme Court's only black judge. And in his opposition to abortion rights, he closed six Planned Parenthood clinics in the state. Are you going to try to rally gays, blacks, and women around these issues as a centerpiece of your campaign?
Well, it's not a matter of rallying anyone. It's a matter that these issues are hugely important to New Jerseyans. New Jersey is progressive when it comes to stance on social issues, and under this administration, he's done nothing about the issue of gun violence. And we look across the river to Governor Cuomo, and while they have strict gun laws on that side of the river as well, they understood that there was something that needed to be done to stop the scourge of, and the tragedies that gun violence is causing.
Is there something specific you propose for New Jersey? You know, the New York Times has an editorial today praising New Jersey's one gun a month limit on gun purchases as a model for the nation.
That's definitely part of the solution. I have legislation in that would require New Jersey to submit the mental health information to the federal government. Right now, there was a court decision some years ago that said that the federal government couldn't force states to submit that information to the FBI for background checks. And so New Jersey is not been doing a very good job in transmitting that to the federal government. So when people do get background checks, you know, they don't have all the information. And so that's part of it. And I also see that there's a number of measures that I've put some legislation in. I'll continue to work with the legislature. But getting to the issue of women's health, which you also touched on, you know, this governor has made it just unconscionable that he's made it. He has rejected literally tens of millions of federal dollars for women's health, and so he's made it tougher for women to get health care. And you know, a lot of women use Planned Parenthood as their primary health care. When I was in college, that's where I went. I didn't have insurance, so that's where I was able to get health care. I just think it's unconscionable, and it's all to pander to the national Republican right. You know, this governor's trying to walk a tightrope between 2013 and 2016, and he has to, you know, New Jerseyans are smart. He needs to answer to people why he hasn't prioritized stricter gun control law, why he's made it harder for women to get health care, you know, why he's made it an issue, why he won't agree that people should be able to marry one another, and it shouldn't be simply because they share the same gender that they should be prohibited from doing that.
By the way, I see Governor Christie is going to be on Letterman tonight to make jokes about the governor's weight. Has Letterman invited you to make an appearance yet?
No, but you know, maybe equal time. I think that's an argument to be made. What do you think?
Jimmy Fallon and Jon Stewart have also had the governor. None of them called you, right?
Not yet.
Any thought about their use of Christie as a comedy act on network TV?
Well, I think, you know, this governor, you know, he's a very good entertainer, and you know, he's shown that he knows how to create these choreographed town hall meetings and YouTube moments, and I think he's a great entertainer. But you know, when push comes to shove, the people of New Jerseyans are smart, and they know when they go to the polls in November that nearly 1 out of 10 people are still out of work, that New Jersey's unemployment rate is higher than it was the year before, that the cost of higher education has spiraled out of control, and that we still have the highest property taxes in the nation, and that's what they're going to base their decision on.
Will you make any reference to the governor's weight during the campaign?
I assume that's a rhetorical question, Brian.
No bumper stickers. Well, that's what they're apparently going to be doing on Letterman tonight, but I guess no bumper stickers that say overweight and overrated or anything like that.
No bumper stickers, period.
One bit of non-campaign news before you go, in all seriousness. I know you are a prime sponsor of the state's anti-bullying Bill of Rights.
Yes.
And today, Rutgers is opening the Tyler Clementi Center to help new students adjust to campus life and fight bullying, among its missions, after what happened to Clementi before he committed suicide as a freshman. Anything you want to say on this occasion?
Well, you know, I think that it's unfortunate that it took a tragedy to force people to realize that we need to do more to protect our kids while they're in to really create a learning environment for them to go to school and to learn. And you can't learn if you are, you know, intimidated and dread going to school. But I was the sponsor of the original Anti-Bullying Act, and that was back in 2001, and that was in the wake of another tragedy. That was in the wake of the Columbine tragedy, where, you know, I remember at the time I had all my kids were in school, and all the focus was on crisis, what you do in the event of a crisis. But then I did a little research on it, and I found that those that actually turned the gun on their fellow students and teachers had been the victims of relentless bullying, and that this was their last act of desperation. And so we can't just put our heads in the sand and say that this is a rite of passage. And I think we're well beyond that, but we need to have a commitment in this year's budget, in the New Jersey state budget, to fund the anti-bullying efforts that the law requires. And right now, there has not been evidence of that commitment in this budget.
Democratic State Senator Barbara Buono, on Saturday, she officially launched her campaign to run for governor against Chris Christie. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Brian Lehrer and WNYC. Coming up next, the battle over new redistricting lines in New York City. And then, and you can post to our website already, now that a certain Chappaqua resident has got some time on her hands, what should she do, and you know who I mean, to have fun in Westchester County? Stay with us.